The four Gospels all share about Jesus being baptized. All four of them speak about the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And at the time that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, his ministry began in its fullness, and Satan began his temptation of our Savior. In John chapter 3, we have the account of Nicodemus talking to Jesus at night. And Jesus, in this discourse, talks about the need to be born again. On the surface of it, that phrase can mean to be born a second time or born from above. The obvious meaning of that phrase is to be born from above, because immediately after this, Jesus talks about being born of water and Spirit. And he defines the Spirit as the Holy Spirit. It is at this point that Nicodemus is challenged about his understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in believers. In Acts chapter 2, we have Peter and the apostles gathered at Pentecost. We record it in Acts chapter 2. Here Peter delivers a very powerful sermon and calls the people to see Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior of our sins. It was then that the people asked what they had to do, and it's recorded in verse 38 that Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Rome, had his mind set on that flesh is death, but the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and peace. We will turn to Romans 8. Like to read verses 7 through 11. But it's here that Paul writes these words. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 7, which we were visiting this morning, in verse 15, Jesus talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. He also goes on to say that we can judge the fruit of another person to see if they are, in fact, a wolf. But testing them can be difficult because many wolves wear sheep's clothing. And there is really little doubt that Paul is making a harsh judgment call on wolves in sheep's clothing coming into the churches throughout Galatia and teaching a false spiritual walk. But in this clothing section, if you will, he speaks directly to the Christians in those congregations. And he asks them to judge their own spiritual walk. Now, if you turn to Galatians 5, I'd like to read verses 16 through 18. Now, Paul writes here, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Safe to say that every one of us loves the freedom to choose that we have in our country today. We can choose what we want to do with our bodies. We can choose who to marry, where to worship. We have all kinds of choices. Some of the choices are like tonight, where we consciously chose to be here. But with those freedoms of choices, we have to be aware that the choices we make not only affects us and our families, but sometimes the ones we know and sometimes even the people that we do not know. Choice is a bigger issue than we give credit. When we examine Galatians chapter 5, we see that Paul is reminding us about a choice in how we live. We have two choices, really, on how we live. We can choose to walk by the Spirit, or we can choose to gratify the desires of the flesh. So God, right now, is working on each of us. He's calling each of us to judge our spiritual walk. I submit that there is no one more qualified to judge our spiritual walk than ourselves. Each one individually judging themselves on how they are walking with God. You see, we know our own hearts better than anyone else does. We know our own hearts better than our spouse knows our hearts, even though they know an awful lot. We can judge others by their talk. We can judge others by their actions. But we cannot judge the hearts and the motives of others accurately. Paul is going to give us two lists. And the lists that he gives us are not all encompassing, but they are intended to give us a big picture of what life looks like, depending on whether we choose to walk in the flesh or the Spirit. List number one is in chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What a person looks like who lives according to the flesh, takes up these types of actions and attitudes. Now, there are some things in this list that we might think are worse than others. The difficulty is that Paul does not rank them in order of their sinfulness. He helps to define what the mindset upon the flesh looks like. Look at our culture today. Look at everything that you've seen on the news in the last 2 weeks. It kind of gives you an idea of where our society is at. Our culture is decaying. Our culture promotes immorality. Buffalo, New York, we saw what anger can do. Our country is being more divided instead of united. these same problems occur in the Lord's church, just like it does in the world. Maybe not to those extremes, but it definitely happens. Here that Paul gives us a second list. It's that healthy list, if you will. It's full of the fruits that we need. That's exactly what he uses to describe it, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you'll notice and contemplate on these lists, the first list is based on the things we choose, whereas the next list is based on the things that are produced. Look in verses 22 and 23. The second list, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. God wants to be at work in each of us. Being a Christian is being a vessel for God. God is not going to come down here and preach sermons. He's leaving that up to us. We are His paintbrush. God wants us to paint society with us. So He produces Himself in us so that others can see Him. We are His fruit, and we are a fruit that serves His purpose. It brings nourishment. It brings goodness to everyone who partakes of it. We've known these verses, for many of us, for a very long time. But how long have we actually been working on trying to put these qualities in our lives? I'd venture to say that we are working hard at being more loving, more joyful, more patient. But how often do we find ourselves failing and then feeling guilty for not doing the fruit? This is where Paul helps us. He is allowing us to see that when we submit to God, when we walk in the Spirit, these are things God is doing through us. God enables each one of us to show love, to show joy, peace, and all the rest. These are not our works. They are God who is working through us. Choice. We have the ability to make choices. No other animal in the animal kingdom has that ability. None. We can choose to live by our fleshly desires, or we can choose to walk by the Spirit. This morning we talked about judging others. Tonight we talk about judging ourselves. How are we doing? What is God doing through us for His glory? You know, when you look at Galatians 5, verse 24, it kind of reminds you of Galatians 2 and verse 20. Verse 24 says, "And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Two sentences in different parts of the book of Galatians that sound very, very familiar and similar. I don't think it was an accident. So our challenge in moving forth from this day is to let the Spirit lead us. Jesus saved believers that the world sees and trembles because they see God in us. And God to them is an enmity, because God puts restrictions where man should not go. So let the beauty of Christ be seen in us. If there is anyone this evening who is in need of the invitation, whether it is to submit to the gospel and to obey that calling through repentance, confession, and New Testament baptism, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe you just need our prayers. Maybe there are things in your life that you have judged and needs to be fixed. You can do that tonight. If there's any that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.